I'm continuing my series this morning on the Gospel of Luke. Jesus is for everyone is the title. The last time I spoke in Luke, it was quite some time before Christmas, and it was Steve's baptism, and I jumped ahead to chapter 15 and the story of the prodigal son for Steve's baptism. Today, we're looking back to Luke 14 and the first 24 verses, and the title is Everyone Invited to the Feast. Everyone invited to the feast. And my first point is God's Great Kingdom Feast. In our church in London, we had a week of fasting and feasting. It was actually suggested by Ella's dad, I seem to remember. And we fasted and we prayed for a week. And then we had a feast together on the Sunday. And I tell you, the food tasted absolutely fantastic at that feast after the Sunday morning. Because having partaken in a fast at different times during the previous week, you know, then to come to this great feast, it really was superb, and it was a wonderful time of fellowship. It was a wonderful time of fun and food together. And I guess all of us who were there probably preferred the feasting to the fasting, if we were honest. But it was actually the fasting that made the feasting so special. Because you've been denying yourself of food, then to be presented with all this beautiful food was a wonderful experience. And I guess there's not a person here who wouldn't like to go to a feast, because we all enjoy eating. If you didn't enjoy eating, you wouldn't be here, or at least you'd be an awful lot thinner than you look this morning. So, you know, we all love eating, and the Bible tells us that there will be a great feast. There will be a wonderful banquet in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of heaven, in the afterlife, after the final judgments. And the Bible tells us every one of us is invited. That is exciting, isn't it? In Luke 13:29, Jesus has said in just the previous chapter to Luke 14, in Luke 13:29, Jesus has said, people will come from the east, the west, the north, and south, and will take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God. In Luke 14, Jesus talks about this feast and this banquet. In verse 15, someone says to Jesus, blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. And Jesus goes on to tell this parable of the great kingdom feast that we've just heard read to us. There are many other Bible references to this, the great kingdom feast. Jesus, at the Last Supper, says, I will not eat this Passover again until the kingdom feast. There's a feast. Jesus is saying, I will not eat this until I eat it with you in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of heaven. There's many other Bible references in the Old Testament. Psalm 23, one of the most famous psalms, says that God prepares a banqueting table in the presence of our enemies. There's a banqueting table. Song of Songs talks about God's banqueting table, and his banner over us is love. Isaiah 25 prophesies in verse 6, on this mountain the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine. That's going to cause a few problems for some of us Africans who don't think you can be Christians and drink wine, but we won't go into that. So a banquet of aged wine, the best meats and the finest of wines. On this mountain he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all people, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Amen? Sounds good, doesn't it? The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. We will find some, it repeated again in Revelation 21, some of these pictures. He will remove his disgrace from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. In that day they will say, surely this is our God. We trusted in him and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trust in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. So there is a banquet that's going to take place in heaven, isn't there? There's a banquet that's going to take place in the new heaven and the new earth. In actual fact, if you look at Exodus 24, we discover that God actually came down to earth and provided a banquet in Exodus 24 for Moses and Aaron and, was it Abihu? I can never remember the other guy's name, and 70 elders. And God actually provided a banquet here on earth, but there's going to be a banquet in heaven. And you are all invited, praise God. And you know, I can say that this feast, this great feast, this great banquet will be miles better than any earthly banquet you could be invited to. It will have no comparison between our earthly feasts and the heavenly feast, the heavenly banquet. It will be out of this world, literally. You know, we sometimes say something will be out of this world. It was out of this world. Well, it will be out of this world, literally, because it is in the kingdom of God. It's in the new heaven and the new earth. God's table will be laden down with every food imaginable. There will be no bad foods on God's table, praise God. Nothing that you eat will make you ill. You won't be up all night with indigestion afterwards, folks. You will be able to eat anything you want without worrying about your diet or your weight. Does that sound good? I won't be diabetic anymore. I shall be able to eat puddings and sweets and cakes and things like that, which I'm not allowed to eat. Because we'll be in new heavenly bodies and it'll be a wonderful, wonderful, there will be no sin. There'll be no decay in our bodies anymore. It will be a wonderful, wonderful feast. So we should be looking forward to this great feast in the kingdom of God in the presence of Jesus. And I have to say, when you start thinking about that and when you start meditating on what the Bible says about this great feast, you have to ask the question, why do we cling so desperately to life here on earth with all its limitations and sinful spoiling? You know, we can look forward to this wonderful feast that we will enjoy with God in heaven. Why do we look upon, as Christians, why do we look upon death so negatively? Oh, no, we don't want to talk about death. We don't want to face death and everything else. You know, if we are Christian, we're going to be feasting with God. Praise God. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be far better than anything here on earth. Jesus speaks so clearly about the wonder and the glory of the new kingdom. Jesus promises a paradise restored, a wonderful feast and banquet in the presence of Jesus in the kingdom of God. And we should be looking forward to all that God has prepared for those who love him, including that great feast in the kingdom of God. And you are invited. If your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, your ticket is guaranteed. Praise God. You're going to be there at that great heavenly banquet. Isn't that something to look forward to? Well, that was about 6 nods. We do cling on to life here, don't we? We really do cling on to life in this life. But no wonder Paul wrote, because the Apostle Paul understood this, but no wonder he wrote, to live is Christ, to die is gain. You know, that would mean, if we really believed that, we would live quite differently here on earth, wouldn't we? We'd be prepared to take a few more risks in faith. To live is Christ, to die is gain. If you are truly a Christian, dying is gain. It's not the end of everything. It is the beginning. It's the beginning of eternity. It's the beginning of feasting and banqueting with Jesus in glory. Dare to believe it. Dare to look forward to it. Dare to hold on to the promises of God of eternal life with him in glory. And the only way of guaranteeing your place in the kingdom feast is to be part of Jesus' kingdom here on earth while you're waiting for your promotion to glory. See, everyone is invited. You know, on earth, here, in the here and now, you only get invited to a big, important feast and banquet if you're someone special, if you're someone important, if you're a relative of the host, or you pay a lot of money or give a lot of money to charity in order to get a ticket, to get an invite. I doubt whether any of us here have ever or will ever be invited to a banquet at Buckingham Palace. Do see me afterwards if you've got an invite, because I'd like to see if I could go along with you. I doubt whether we've been invited, any of us will ever be invited to a banquet at Buckingham Palace. We probably won't even get invited to a garden party. You know, that's the sort of the step down, isn't it, from the banquet. Because, you see, none of us are important enough. None of us are special enough. None of us are so rich and powerful, unless you want to talk to me afterwards, and unless there's a very big offering in the offering baskets or whatever. You know, none of us are so rich and powerful to be invited to Buckingham Palace. The only way you're going to get, and I'm going to get inside Buckingham Palace, is to pay a big entrance fee for a guided tour around the bits of Buckingham Palace that the royal family don't mind you seeing. You can do that. Well, yes, I think you still can do that. But Jesus, the King of Kings, before whom every earthly king will bow the knee, has invited each one of us to that great banquet, to his great banquet. Isn't that wonderful? That's incredible. And his banquet will make King Charles's banquets look like poor man's pig swill. It really will. Honestly and truly. You know, you've got your face in the trough when you go to Buckingham Palace compared to the feast in the kingdom of God. And we need to believe that. We need to understand that. We need to get excited about that. To feast in the kingdom of God. And Jesus makes it very clear, you are invited. In Luke 14, even the poor, the needy, the homeless, the destitute, those who are far away are being compelled to come to the banquet, are being invited to this great banquet. No one is excluded from the invitation. The big question is have you accepted his invitation? Have you accepted his invitation? Because the Bible tells us it is only those who have accepted his invitation who will be there. The rest will be cast out, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, and they will be in utter darkness, it says elsewhere when Jesus is talking about the great banquets. The Bible even suggests that those in utter darkness will be able to see those of us who will be feasting with Jesus, and it will only add to their envy and their suffering. So have you accepted Jesus' invitation? Are you part of God's kingdom here on earth? Have you been born again by the Spirit? Have you repented of your sin and believed in Jesus? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the only way. There is only one way to have a ticket to the Great Kingdom Feast, and that is through Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. So we need to accept the invitation. So I want to say a little bit more about what Jesus says here. Under the title, don't miss out on the feast. Don't miss out on the feast, because in Jesus' story, there is a number of people, a number of types of people that Jesus says will miss out on the feast. Firstly, don't refuse the invite. In verses 16 to 24, Jesus tells the story of this great and magnificent feast that a very important and great host has made great effort and expense in preparing. He sent out invites in advance. That's what he did in those days. He sent out those invites to his distinguished friends, But on the day of the banquet, when everything has been prepared and all the food is laid out on the table, the people who have been invited make every kind of excuse why they can't attend. One has bought a field, another has bought 5 yoke of oxen, another has just got married, and all the invited distinguished people make excuses why they can't come to the feast. So why did they refuse the wonderful invites? I want to suggest to you they had the wrong priorities in life. See, their priorities was on owning land and possessions, on making money, on trading, on sexual relationships. They were motivated by money, sex, and power. They were too busy storing up treasure and pleasure here on earth to respond to God's invitation. How foolish and stupid they were. Because their money, their sex, and their power would die with them. And they would miss out on paradise and the heavenly kingdom banquet. Their priorities were all wrong. They were not seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. They were rejecting and insulting God, the host of the heavenly kingdom feast. And Jesus, and I say to each one of us here today, what are your priorities in life? What are my priorities in life? Make sure you don't miss out on the amazing feast in the kingdom of God. Don't miss out because you're not seeking first the kingdom of God, not storing up treasure in heaven. And it's so easy to have the wrong priorities in life, isn't it? And Jesus calls us to have the right priorities and to guarantee that place in the great banquet. Secondly, don't object to others God invites. Romans 12:3 says, don't think of yourselves more highly than you ought. In other words, don't look down on others. Don't despise the poor, the needy, the destitute, the homeless, the big sinners, those who have special needs, the disabled, other races, because God has invited them to his special banquet too, because everyone is invited. Amen? Praise God. Everyone is invited. And Jesus has a special place of honor for them at his wonderful kingdom banquet. He particularly wants them. It's a picture of God, isn't it, in the heavenly banquet. And compel them to come in. Make sure you invite the poor and the needy and the destitute and the lame and those who are disabled. Make sure you invite them to this banquet. That's the whole message of these two parables of two banquets that are actually in chapter 14 of Luke. The religious Pharisees, the teachers of the law who were listening to Jesus among the crowd, were furious with Jesus because he preached to the poor, to the needy, to big sinners, to lawbreakers, to prostitutes, to traitors, to those who are disabled, who got diseases, who they thought didn't deserve to be preached to, didn't deserve to have a relationship with God. And you know, some Christians and churches today are much the same as the religious Pharisees and Jewish leaders. They don't want to associate with poor people. They don't want to associate with big sinners. They don't want to associate with the homeless or prostitutes and lawbreakers and even people of a different race. They don't want them messing up their nice middle-class churches. So we've got a nice club here, and everything's nice and cozy, and we know one another, and we're all the same sort of people, and we don't want these other people in our churches. Jesus tells us in the first parable feast in verses 8 to 14 of chapter 14, there is no place for religious snobbery. There's no place for religious pride. There's no place for titles. There's no place for arrogance. There's no place for racism. There's no place for sexism. There's no place for any other ism in the kingdom of heaven, in the kingdom of God. There should be no place for those things in the church here on earth either. Amen?
Amen.
There really should be no place for any of those things in the church here on earth. We need to examine our hearts. We need to examine our mouths when we are speaking about the people who are different from ourselves. People we may be tempted to look down on. It's so easy, isn't it, to end up looking down on people who are different from ourselves. And we need to examine ourselves. We need to think what we're saying with our mouths sometimes, because it's so easy to join in the mockery or the disdain that we can treat other people with. People we may not think are worthy to be Christians. You know, one of the things I love about this church is that we are reaching out to so many people who are rejected by society. That is the most exciting thing, I think, about this church. We're reaching out to those who are rejected by society. You know, when you see some of the people who hang around here, blind drunk, taking drugs, etc., it's easy to just despise them, wish that they would go away. Let's build a fence around the church so that they can't come too close. This is a holy building. But you know, God calls us to reach out, doesn't he? And to invite them. To invite them to the feast. To invite them to discover Jesus. To allow Jesus to transform their lives. Don't miss out. You know, I praise God for the ministry of that we're reaching out with a life-transforming message of Jesus through the food bank, through the Lighthouse, through the CAP Debt Center, that every week there are people coming into this building getting food, people who are in a really bad place, in a really difficult circumstances. People are going down to the Lighthouse. Some are just going because they're so lonely. They don't have other friends. Some are going because they're homeless. They have no roof over their head. Some are going because they're addicted. But praise God, we're reaching out to them with the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. That makes us a genuine church, folks. That makes us a biblical church. Not because everything's nice and neat, and not because we've got £100,000 worth of lights on the ceiling and it's all flashing lights and entertainment and things like that. It's actually that we're impacting society for the name of Jesus Christ. And we're sharing the message of Jesus. So don't miss out on the wonderful kingdom feast with Jesus because of pride, because of arrogance, because of religious snobbery, because of entitlement, racism, sexism, disdain for the poor, the destitute, the stranger, and the big sinner. Thirdly, don't con yourself that God will let you in. So many people in British society today believe in a God that they have created themselves. Did you realize that? They've created a God in their own minds. They've created a God who doesn't mind what religion people are because all religions lead to the same God that they have created themselves. They believe in a self-created God who seems to have dementia and has forgotten how immoral or sinful your life has been. You know, this placid God, usually a picture a bit like Father Christmas, an old man who's a bit irrelevant and out of touch and just overlooks and seems to have forgotten the life that you've lived. And that's what people tend to believe. A self-created God who will pat you on the head when you die and let you into heaven. And when a loved relative dies, they're convinced that that relative now is looking down upon them from heaven, even though they might have been the biggest crook on earth. And they're watching over them, and they've gone to a better place, however bad their life might have been. But the Bible says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And people's self-created God bears no resemblance to the God of the Bible, to God Almighty, God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ, God the Holy Spirit. And Jesus makes it very clear in Matthew 8:12 when speaking about the heavenly feast, that if we reject God's invitation to the heavenly kingdom banquet, we will be cast out into utter darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. So don't con yourself that God will let you into the banquet. And finally, don't believe that you deserve a place. Don't believe you deserve a place. The religious Jews Jesus was speaking to as he told this parable thought that they were guaranteed a place at the great heavenly kingdom banquet. They believed they were special. They believed that they were God's chosen people. And therefore they deserved a place. And the only question in their minds was, what seat of honor would they have at the feast? How close to God's top table would they be? Now, we can be a bit like that, can't we? I don't know whether you knew, but in sort of traditional British weddings, when you go for the reception, the important people sit closest to the top table. So you know if you're down, you know, you need a pair of binoculars to see the bride and groom, that, you know, you're down there at the bottom. And it used to be the same with the Jewish people. You know, the important people would sit the closest to the host, and those who were less important would come down. And Jesus' whole talk about this parable was that, you know, the danger is you go and sit close to the top table, and then someone says, right, you're a riffraff, you get down the end there. And, you know, all they were bothered about was where, you know, how close I would be to the host, how close I will be to God. They just assumed, they presumed that they deserved a place in the at this feast in the kingdom of God. But the whole message of Jesus in the New Testament is that no one deserves a place at God's kingdom feast. No one is entitled. No one can buy a place. No one can earn a place at God's banqueting table. It's only by God's amazing grace that any of us will feast at that table with Jesus in that heavenly kingdom feast. In the words of an old Graham Kendrick song, only by grace can we enter. Only by grace can we stand. Not by our human endeavor, but by the blood of the Lamb. Into your presence you call us. You call us to come. Into your presence you draw us. And now by your grace we come. It's God's amazing grace that extends that wonderful invitation to each one of us to come and feast with him at his heavenly banquet. So in summary, Jesus is for everyone. Praise God. Everyone is invited to God's amazing heavenly kingdom feast. The question is, have you accepted the invitation? Don't miss out because you refuse the invite or because you object to others that God has invited. Don't con yourself that God will just let you in, whatever your life has been like. Don't think you deserve a place, because it's only by God's amazing grace that you will be feasting in eternity with Jesus at his banqueting table. Let's thank God for his grace. Let's stand together, shall we? And let's pray. As we do that, I'm going to ask Franco and the team to come forward, and we're going to be finishing our service. Lord, we thank, we praise you for this beautiful picture of this wonderful kingdom feast that you invite us to. Lord, help us to respond to your invitation. Lord, may there not be one soul here today who rejects the invitation of Jesus to his heavenly kingdom feast. May there not be one who's left out because they didn't respond. Lord, we thank you for your amazing, undeserved mercy and grace extended to us as sinners, that through the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, that, Lord, you extend an invite to feast with you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Help us not to refuse the invite. Help us not to object to others that God has invited. Lord, help us not to create in our own minds our own God who will just let us in. Lord, help us not to think, not even to cross our minds that we deserve a place because we've been a good person or we've done good works. Lord, it's only by grace that we can enter. Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.